It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
One more time for good measure. Appreciation to D&M Auto Leasing
yes.
for bringing you
yes, sir.
That crosstalk.
Shout out to them.
Payne and Pendergast. And now, we give you a little bit of in the loop. All right. Happy Monday to you. Hope that you are having a good one. Hope that you had a great weekend because it's a fun time in Houston sports. You heard the man, John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you. Get involved with the program because you too are part of this. 713-572-4610 is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
The Texas Hammer!
Where we're already getting some of that divisive messages about bicycling.
Why do you hate cyclists?
I'm staying out of that one.
Yeah, man. Figgy said, my name is Bennett and I ain't in.
Yeah.
That's what he said. So, you know what? I think I might join you in that because I think I recall someone damn near getting canceled behind particularly strong cyclist take. So me personally, I'm staying away from that.
Hey, don't go out to the motorcycle people, man.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's different.
That's bad business. I know what happened in Waco. I know how these things go. Yeah, exactly. They made a whole show about this. Why would I do that? Yeah. All right. Man, sincerely, a very fun time in sports. In fact, what has your attention right now? 713-572-4610. You can also get us on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers live streams.
We keep it 100.
On Twitch and on YouTube. YouTube is Sports Radio 610. Twitch is 610 Houston. Because I was going through it and looking at the various things that are going on. And I just keep bouncing back and forth. You know me, I'm prone to like a level of excitement when it comes to sports. Just being a sports dork. And I just keep bouncing back and forth between a few things. And I'm like, man, I'm excited about all these. So I'm interested in what has your attention right now. 713-572-4610.
Cougs, man. Cougs. And it's not just the thrashing that they put on yesterday. But let's go back to Friday night, man. That was something wild and special. I thought, oh, no, just not going to be their night. I thought all night long, oh, no, not going to be their night. But lo and behold. Inbounds play that was kind of designed and kind of not, but at the same time they get it done, and then of course they rebound the way that we thought they would. It's special. They got Houston on their chest, man.
They sure do.
Yeah.
And so does Figgy. Shout out to Figgy. We're in Cougars gear. I see.
Hey,
you,
shout out to Academy.
Okay, there you go. Go ahead and put that on the table. Which game did you have more fun watching? Was it the Sweet 16 game versus Purdue? That was a knockdown drag out game. of two teams that matched up very well? Mm-hmm. Or was it the Tennessee game where you just kind of got them boys out the paint and you immediately knew pretty early on that this thing was going to be on to the next?
More fun yesterday. Just because it was awe-inspiring to watch what the Cougs. Those dudes had 15 points at the half, man.
Oh, yes, Tennessee.
I mean, they had 15 points at halftime. Like, fun, like the clinic that they put on defensively and what they could do was the most fun. The most entertaining, if you talk about, you know, you're going to end up exhausted, but with a happy ending.
Come on, dog.
What? I didn't say anything.
You did say something. That's why you made the look. I see you.
It was a happy end.
All right.
All right, Rusty Hart.
Exhausted, but it was a happy. Well, that's still not better. Anyway.
It's not a crime.
You know, you get my point. I can't get out of it. But that was Friday night. I mean, that was Friday night. I would have bet, you know, in the second half, it ain't going to happen. You know, but lo and behold, they get it done.
Yeah, I think I'm a sicko maybe because Friday night was absolutely the more fun of the two to me. Just great basketball, and I thought that they were challenged in a way that sometimes, you know, I don't think very many teams have an opportunity to. I was, you know, much credit to Matt Painter and his Purdue Boilermakers. They did a great job of neutralizing your bigs, right? They were doubling your bigs. And that was one of those things I was like, oh, okay, this is actually a little bit of a problem because they were not doing a great job passing out of it. And they kind of made it so that LJ Cryer, Miles Uzan, if you guys want to beat us, go ahead. And LJ Cryer had a little bit of an off night in some ways. Like some of the, you know, kind of, you know, difficult shots that he is want to make weren't quite going down. But here come Miles Uzan. Like, here comes Miles Uzan making it happen. And, of course, you got the moment. You got, like, what you come for. Come to March Madness for, which is moments like that that decide a game, and a fantastic after timeout baseline out of bounds play that was executed damn near to perfection. Obviously, you didn't get your absolute first look, but that's why you have you know, variations on a play, because there are various different looks. And I think one of the things it did, it highlighted one, the ultimate preparedness of this team when it comes to Kelvin Sampson. You know, on the broadcast, they mentioned multiple times that they had drilled that a number of times the night before, or the day before, rather. It shows just, like, the veteran nature and the headiness of this team because, you know, in that moment, there's a little bit of interplay that has to happen that's not just straight drawn, and that's JoJo Tugler getting the ball and not holding on to it, knowing immediately he's open, there's nobody there, give it right back in an instant. And then, it just shows also in the, you know, post game, these guys are just so tapped in together. This is a great situation for this team, and hopefully the time where the Cougs get over the hump and actually win the next
experience. Experience matters. I mean, we're in an era where everybody's 1 year here and 1 year there, you know, and obviously, you know, Kelvin Sampson talked about it a little bit yesterday about the culture and all that, but they were experienced enough to have seen that, to know what the options were, to make the play. It was an incredible moment. But yesterday to me was just like, I couldn't take my eyes off of it, and it was over. It was over in the first half. But just the efficiency, the defense, the never stopping, never relenting. Yep. There was no. They were talking about like making a little run here, and maybe they can get it down. They never made any run. Like, they never made any run. Not anything worth anything. Yeah.
Shout out to Emmanuel Sharp, right? Mm-hmm. You know, shows that you have three really solid guards who, at any given night, can give you the boost that you need. In this instance, it was the three late game triples that he was able to knock down to really stifle the Tennessee, I guess, whatever push you could call it, that they were trying to make in the second half. Just continue to stretch out the lead when it started getting a little bit uncomfortable, and your Cougs get out of what was a really weird regional where they were literally the furthest away on the weekend.
And the road team. Basically,
yeah, they were the road team
in both games.
In both of those games, Purdue obviously less than 70 miles from campus. You get out of that environment, and then you get Tennessee, who's a little bit further away, like just under
2/3 Tennessee.
Miles.
Yeah,
and they handled that up. So, like, shout out to Kelvin Sampson and the Cougs and Jim Nance for getting a victory and moving it back into Texas for next weekend. We'll be in
congrats,
San Antonio.
Jim. Congrats.
But appreciate all your work that you did to get this one there.
We'll have a confession.
I bet you will.
But all that said, you know, beyond that, really the more intriguing thing to me, as much as, you know, the Texans have signed EJ Speed, that's going to get interesting. We'll dig into that. Rockets, you know, pretty much lock up the playoff berth. They went a long way toward helping themselves in the lottery as well.
Yes.
But to me, it's the Astros. Obviously a day off yesterday, But just an intriguing team on how they're getting things done, how they're playing right now, and what they're not doing right now in terms of extra base hits. Yes. And those types of things.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I was, and somebody was mentioning when Seth was talking earlier and was trying to, you know, recall where Chaz was playing on Saturday, where I immediately jumped in with Senna and like, oh, look at you being knowledgeable. I was like, I guess, but I'm really more than anything, it's just been a level of excitement with this club. We talked about this all spring with just the, you know, the intrigue that this team possessed. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing it early. Like I've been wanting to see what's the identity of this club now. What does it look like? You know, how do the new additions impact this team? And let me tell you, one of the things that's very evident, they are going to take some pitches, buddy. They're going to make opposing pitchers work, which that is a really fun thing to see. I think we'll talk more about what their identity looks like in 11:20, I think. Let's go ahead and timestamp that there. But yeah, the Astros have been fun, except I'm going to disagree with you. I think it actually is Rockets for me that is above Astros, even though I was tapped in. I was at a SaberCats game on Saturday with the Rockets game on my phone, and I kept missing things in the SaberCats game because
you are a sicko, man.
I will never beat those allegations. Not that I'm trying to, but man. You watched the Rockets last night against the Suns, and admittedly, the Suns looked like they had a little bit of malaise. There's a little senioritis going on. That thing is ready to 1-2-3 Cancun. However, it was kind of funny thinking about it where I go, oh, they look kind of like the Cougars right now. Mm-hmm. Like, this was a locked-in Rockets team where their defense was stifling. In fact, the one thing that got me to that place where I was like, damn, they kind of look alike in this particular game. Mm-hmm. One thing I love about the Cougars is that they make their opponents worse at rebounding. Not just because they rebound well, but because they are so athletic and they also do a great job of attacking the ball at its highest point that other teams, when they have advantages and they've boxed out well, they don't grab the basketball. They tip at the basketball, which still comes out, and then your Rockets or Cougars guards are, you know, really, you know, they're attuned to it and they try and get the ball. The Rockets were doing that to a great degree as well, where it's like, hey, the rebounding is showing up in a big way, and then the defense, where they're turning over and getting it into transition. This Rockets team, and I don't know if I'm willing to say that this is, you know, who they are as of right now, because I've seen them play this type of game and then soon thereafter look a little bit less you know, focused on the game plan or what have you, or however you want to say it. However, they looked like that, and then on top of that, Jalen Green is fully blossoming.
That's where I would go.
In what he's doing and like being a playmaker on top of being a scorer. And then last night, maybe not always, but last night he did it incredibly efficiently.
I thought it was the most efficient game. It's funny you say that. That's exactly what I was going to do is go there. I thought the efficiency, 33 points in 27 minutes. What was it, 32 in the second and third quarters when they put the team away, made most of his shots, made most of his three-pointers, made most 11 out of 13, I believe, his free throws, and did it all in 27 minutes. That was probably his most efficient game of the year, for being honest.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I heard Sean mention this earlier. I think people are getting to a place where they're like, hey, what has been the question that you've had all season long with this team?
Are they going to be able to finish? I mean, how are they going to be able to – who's the guy? You know, how's this thing going to finish when it comes cutting time, so to speak, and the consistency on rebounding, the consistency defensively and free throws.
Does it not feel like, at least in a short-term stance, right, where you see where they were last night?
Do they have the guy?
They're moving towards having that answer.
They have the guy. At least right now.
Wait, can you say that one more time for me?
They have the guy.
Look at that.
At least right now.
Look at that.
Hey, don't cut me short. At least right now they do.
Yeah, and for me, the big thing is just, and I think I've kind of harped on this, it's the playmaking in addition to, we know that you can get by folks. Mm-hmm. And some teams defensively, I think I was seeing BJ Armstrong talk about this on a podcast, like some teams defensively with their matchups, they'll put their weaker defender on a really strong player and you go, why? They're trying to get that. They're trying to isolate you from the rest of the team. And sometimes Jalen Green could isolate himself.
He does it himself.
I'm going to go to the basket, or I'm going to get to my shot. I'm going to take a difficult shot no matter what. I'm getting the shot up. That does it. That's not as strong of a drive for him now, where you see him start and initiate maybe an ISO, but then he'll dish off because there is an opening for someone else to score. And that is when you're the most dangerous, is when you take your particular ability to get to your spots and utilize it to help other people get open. That's going to continue to provide benefits for this team.
And to be fair, the Suns are just completely checked out, man.
Absolutely. That is fair.
They were checked out. And Durant's going to be out for a while now with an ankle injury. But that's all good news because the Rockets are going to be able to use that pick.
They hold control of that pick. Currently, the Suns have the 12th worst record in the NBA, and so they have the 12th best odds of maybe moving up. I think if you add it all together, I think it's a 7% chance of moving up into the top four, which, look, that's enough.
I'll take that.
That is enough. Yeah. And if they continue to fall, I think they could fall as low as 10th worst record, which then gives you an even better chance of moving up, or just having a 10th pick and adding more talent, or at the very least making that pick more valuable for Phoenix if they were going to trade to try and, you know, get that, get control of that back, or if you were to trade it even somewhere else for some level of high level player. We mentioned the Astros from the 8-2. Guys, I don't see the Astros getting a lot of runs this year.
Well, right now you don't.
Where's my belt?
Right now you don't.
Marathon, not a sprint, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, are we doing the thing?
It's early, man.
Are we doing the thing where we're reacting, overreacting a little bit to one series? Maybe.
They need some torpedo bats. Is what they need.
That's another thing. Someone mentioned that the torpedo bats. That is kind of an interesting anomaly. Isn't baseball always good for that? Like, always good for giving you something. Last year it was like the jerseys.
Yeah.
Which, funny enough, Fanatics, they went back and they fixed after a season long of complaining. They had a whole nother thing that they got wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this. It's just kind of a social media thing or an internet thing where, like, in their advertising, I think it was a Twins particular jersey that they were advertising, except the stadium was Camden Yard. And then the hat that the man who was wearing the Twins jersey was wearing was actually a Guardians cap. And I was like, guys,
let's get this right.
You're doing something wrong here.
Yeah. And Min Woodley wins the Houston Open.
Oh, yes. The Houston Open. Not going to lie.
I went there for a couple hours, like I said.
How was it?
I went early because it's right up the street from my house. So walked around, saw Ricky, saw a couple of others, Rory, just to kind of catch a couple of golfers here and there. It was fantastic, and it was a great finish. I mean, Scheffler went nuts, shot a 62, I believe, on Saturday. And then, I think, was it Woodland that shot a 62 yesterday? No, it wasn't Woodland. Anyway, I think it was Valamaki. But either way, it was fun. Yeah, it was fun, and a good finish.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There you go. Look, we did all that, all the things that are catching our attention. We didn't even mention that the Texans made an acquisition that I think is kind of interesting, right? Like, there's a level of history with your team, and I think that it brings up some really interesting questions for your defense. D'Amico Ryans' vaunted Texans defense. So let's talk about that. Coming up next, the Texans sign EJ Speed, former Colts linebacker. What does that mean for this defense? Let's talk about it.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal.
It grows from your face.
That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Next. Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adetula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a Monday. Hope you're having a great one. You got John Lopez, Reginald Adetula, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. Texans have another linebacker. They have added to their depth, to their competition in the linebacker room by signing former Colts linebacker E.J. Speed to a one-year, up to $5 million deal. I think it's like a $1.75 million signing bonus, $1.5 million in base salary. That's fully guaranteed. But this is a guy who comes into your linebacker room and adds some stuff. A dude who's played, who's been a special teamer, but he also, you know, worked his way to being a starting caliber linebacker. And so,
and he hates C.J. Stroud.
Well, I think that, that maybe can be debated, but there's some audio. There's some audio there.
He doesn't hate CJ Stroud.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
They got the same agent, but
yeah,
same agent and everything. But yeah, EJ Speed is now a Houston Texan. What does this mean for the Texans on various different levels? And do you want to start with the CJ Stroud of it all, because he came from a rival, and typically we can make too much of that, in my opinion, my estimation. We can make too much of all. He played for a team that is in division. But this one really means something because, like, they've talked about this on Wax. We have multiple recordings of these guys kind of going back and forth in some ways that would maybe seem to indicate a possibility of a level of bad blood.
I would argue that not only is there no bad blood, I think they're probably closer than anybody could possibly imagine. Because you can only talk like that with people that you're really close with,
or that you're really not close with,
for sure. But the way that they were going back and forth, it wasn't like venomous, you know. It was trash talk. It's like when I get in the middle of my two sons talking trash, like the things they say are heinous. I mean, the things they say are absolutely awful. But they're not. They're so close that they can get away with it. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what we're. I think people are reading too much into this. I think they're actually very close. I really do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to
that? But it was interesting. It's fun. It's fun trash talk. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go back to that, because this is EJ Speed. This is after the 2023 season, after CJ's rookie season, kind of getting after CJ Stroud. Actually, this was into the offseason because CJ would have already been talking, something that we haven't had this year, at all, not even traces of. But, you know, CJ Stroud getting out there doing his various media hits last offseason. He was talking big talk, and apparently EJ Speed did not take kindly to such things.
He won't even be looking at the read. And then you know he got about one more look before.
What is the bone? What is the bone to pick? Because you know you have them week one in Indy. They're coming.
Yeah, they said I didn't make any plays, so I guess I gotta put the proof in the pudding, huh?
Yeah, and CJ Stroud likes to talk.
Yeah, that's his thing now. That's his thing. He liked to pop his. I mean, can we say that he got a right to?
I guess you can say Stroud was much more direct. Like Stroud went after EJ Speed, and I thought it was like when I heard it the first time, we're like, oh, Stroud's talking noise. But the more you listen to this, it was not that. It was somebody who's having fun with somebody he knows very well.
Like my boy EJ Speed, but it's a ton of dudes. It's not just EJ. He with my agent, and I tell him this to his face. I don't even tripping. But like a lot of dudes come to these podcasts. Oh yeah, I'm coming to hit. I'm gonna hit CJ in his face. I'm gonna get him next year. Why don't you do something? Like where I'm from, we say, why don't you do something where you was mad at? You was mad right there, my do something. Right. You could have made hella plays, bro. You could have made plays, dog. Right. You could have shut me up right there, but you didn't.
Right.
So what make you think you're going to do it now? And right. if you do, I'm going to come back, bro, for real. This ain't for no play, bro. I'm on, like, yeah. come on,
God,
man.
I got him in that mode.
You got me, yeah. got me
this the mode, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this is the mode I've been waiting to get.
I'm going to slam CJ on his head. Ah, like.
Man.
You should have did that then, bro.
Right.
Now we're going to have another opportunity, and we played them first game of the year. Ooh. I'm excited. The Colts. Yeah. We're playing at their place. It's going to be rocking. Indy hates me already, and I love it.
That's trash talk. That's trash talk.
Yeah.
That's not real venom. You know, real hate.
I don't think so. But yeah. I do wonder, like, does that carry on now that he's on the team?
Yes.
Because it feels, all that felt like, it was kind of pseudo-motivational
yeah.
in a way.
What
like
day is training camp?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
We're right. waiting on training camp now.
yeah.
Now, I was about to say, is that one of those training camp fights, except you can't fight the no. quarterback at training camp.
No, but you could talk trash.
You can talk trash.
You could talk trash.
Oh,
because
all day.
I forgot who said it a couple years ago, but they was like, man, CJ be talking some trash.
Yeah.
And we didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. And then this shows up.
And then,
up.
Yeah, this shows up, yeah. and EJ continues it on. But EJ Speed will join this linebacker room where you felt like you had three starting caliber linebackers, mm-hmm. obviously in Azeez Al-Shaair, middle linebacker, and then Henry To'o, who had quite a step up last yeah. year in, you know, stepping up, handling starting duties, and then in some ways, like, kind of really stepping into a even vaster role than you could have imagined for him at the start of the year. And then Christian Harris, who was kind of nebulous, he was not there for a long mm-hmm. period of time, but you still had a lot of belief in his capability, even though he just never yeah. showed up for you in this season, although you had seen that capability in the season prior. And then you throw in EJ Speed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do you see him? Because he is an athletic dude, a solid run stopper, right? You see him kind of throw himself headfirst into some run stops. I mean, very much akin to Henry To'o,
mm-hmm.
how he has played. But if you trust PFF, which all the disclaimers apply here, pass coverage, not that great. I tried to get into some you know, various plays, and mm-hmm. I didn't see a ton of coverage stuff, but, like, I didn't see anything yeah. that made me go, oh, he's an incredible.
Or the other way.
But he is absolutely athletic, which you add that athleticism to the room. Like, what are you seeing from EJ Speed as he steps into this
room? It's interesting because Al-Shaair isn't going anywhere, right? I mean, that's a given. To'o has earned the right during the season and after, you know, he's earned the right to be in that mix as well. So where do you put Speed? He can play inside. I think he can play outside some too, and he has. So what does that mean for Christian Harris? What does it mean for – is there more to an injury? Is there something that maybe is lingering? I don't know. And I think that's where we're going to have to focus.
For me, I kind of view this, and it's not apples to apples, mm-hmm. what have you. It feels like a Neville Hewitt replacement, just like this is some linebacker depth. Mm-hmm. I know Neville Hewitt was more of a, I guess, traditional middle linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I vividly recall us talking about Neville Hewitt is, like, there's not a ton of athleticism there. This is adding some athleticism into that room, although not a great coverage guy. And this is one of the reasons why I don't necessarily look at Christian Harris as particularly on the clock. Because he's still probably your best coverage linebacker, is he not?
Probably, you know, when healthy, and it makes you wonder, you know, how much there might be lingering problems there, and we'll find out for sure. But the thing with EJ Speed, I mean, D'Amico Ryans flat out said he's going to be in the mix. Now, maybe that's just coach speak, but this morning over at the NFL meetings, which we'll get back to, he was asked about it and said, no, you know, he's going to be in the mix at some point. So he's going to have a shot. He's going to have a shot to be middle, outside, whatever it may be.
Yeah, know? And yeah. I mean, this feels like the way that they are handling this offseason, right? Just competition. This mm-hmm. gives you another guy that possibly could start in some ways, even though I think your base is a 4-3, but truly, like, base nowadays in the NFL is that nickel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to have two linebackers out there. Azeez feels like a given, but outside of that, like,
yeah.
I think giving these guys more competition is not going to be a bad thing, especially with the amount of talent. And then on top of that, you know that he can do the special teams type stuff. Like, he's done it to a high degree.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this addition. But to point to the idea that he has the possibility of starting, I think Aaron Wilson of KPRC2 had mm-hmm. this. He was pointing out that he has a Pro Bowl escalator in his contract for $500,000. He has a $500,000 bonus attached to if he plays 88% of the defensive snaps, and then if he plays 90%, another $500,000. So $1 million tied to the idea of mm-hmm. if he's playing starter kind of snaps,
he can add a whole bunch of money to this. And that seems like something that you absolutely put in there if he has that possibility of getting it.
I think you're right. And he had, I mean, he made a bunch, I think it was 142, somewhere in that neighborhood, tackles last year.
142, exactly, in 15 games.
And so that's not a guy that you just say, well, we'll see where he can fit in. You're giving him a shot, which is so interesting because Toa Toa kind of held off, you know, any threat from Christian Harris for whatever reason. And, you know he's high on their list. So EJ Speed, just he's going to have a shot in the middle there as well.
On top of all of that, do you, there was one thing that I think was a little, I don't know, jarring for me, mm-hmm. is seeing that he missed so many tackles last season, 26 missed tackles last season. Does that give you any pause? Because I think that was one of the things that we talked about with this defense in general was missed tackles. I think Henry kind of caught a good amount of that as well with his history of missed tackles. Did that give you any pause, or are you just like, that's fine?
No, I wouldn't say that's fine, but I don't think it's a red flag either. I think, you know, he's a guy that is, just always around the ball and is going to miss a lot of tackles. I mean, like I said, 142. That's a ton of tackles on top of the other times that he was around the ball.
Which probably speaks a lot to the Colts and the ineffectiveness of their run stopping on the defensive line and such. Mm-hmm.
No, I think absolutely. I mean, it wouldn't cause me any concern at all. Or little.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested in seeing how this plays out. And I really want to just see what this locker room or what this linebacker room comes to. But I did like this because this feels like the thing that Nick has tried to do, and I think the thing that you would speak to any organization doing in this time period of the year, which is kind of papering over, and this feels like more than papering over, like mm-hmm. some of your needs. And linebacker depth was one of those things that was talked about. Is this absolutely going to be depth? Like, are you going to get to a place where maybe one of these guys, one of the four guys that we named, mm-hmm. ends up not on this team? I guess that is a possibility.
I think it would have to be.
But I like the idea of if you can stomach it, right, financially, and I don't see why you wouldn't be able to, having all of these guys. I would love mm-hmm. having all four of those guys that we mentioned, and then maybe even Jake Hansen on the back end of that on this roster. Right?
Yeah, we didn't even mention Jake Hansen, you know, and that's another guy that was pretty integral, especially on special teams, you know, and on the field.
And I feel like that's probably the way that he probably needs to be, because mm-hmm. it felt evident that they were not trying to view him as a dude to utilize unless emergency, right? Break in case of emergency type player. Mm-hmm. And I think all four of these guys that we mentioned, right, the three that you previously had and then EJ Speed, all feel like they slide in above that. Do you view at all EJ Speed as the 832 ask, as, or sorry, the 713 ask, as an insurance policy for Jalen Petrie? Because Jalen Petrie almost plays like an additional linebacker in some ways, but
I don't know
in that
if I'd
slot.
Go that far. Would you go that far?
I don't know.
Especially because of the coverage?
Well, yes, but then also especially because Jimmy Ward is not technically a starter right now. Mm-hmm. With the addition of C.J. Gardner-Johnson at safety, you go in the safety, you go Kalen Bullock and mm-hmm. then C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Obviously, you know who your cornerbacks are. And then that kind of, you know, corner slot, that nickel slot spot you have in with Petrie, but then also Jimmy Ward can play that. He has played that in the past, and without having like a particular
played
starting
it for
spot,
D'Amico.
He played it for D'Amico, mm-hmm. and when he had to come in after Jalen Petrie had the pectoral injury, he played it pretty damn well mm-hmm. once he got back up to speed. So like, I think that feels like the insurance policy there, but maybe having additional guys is not a problem, but this very much strikes me more as this is an athletic dude, mm-hmm. something that, you know, this team prides itself on is getting athleticism that can push some of these other guys and maybe even take a spot. So I like the addition. This one is like just all positives to me. I don't necessarily see a potential negative here for the Texans in adding linebacker EJ Speed. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. Inspired by the NFL owners seemingly moving towards banning the notorious tush push, what are some everyday things that you believe should be banned? 713-572-4610 is the number. Text in. We'll talk about it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, question of the day, Tom, on this Monday. What are some everyday things that should just be banned? Mm-hmm. A la what it feels like some of the NFL owners are going to do with the tush push. We league meetings happening in West Palm Beach, Florida, which is apparently a hub for all things that happen in sports. But
beautiful.
Yeah. Must be nice. I mean, it's not a bad day here in Houston.
No,
it's
not
overcast, but it feels great outside though. But yeah, there's supposedly momentum building towards banning the tush push, despite I think a majority of coaches continue to express a feeling that is, if you want to stop it, go ahead and, or if you want it to stop, mm-hmm. go ahead and stop it. which it seems like D'Amico Ryans is also in that same bag. But, you know, if we're getting in the spirit of banning things, let's go ahead and ban things. 713-572-4610 is the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line. What are some things that you'd like to see banned?
So everyday things, look, there's going to be a number of them, and don't just come on with whatever you think. I'm interested in yours. Mine are more recent, like, because it started Friday when I left this building. And I got down to the bottom floor, going to exit the elevator. A dude started walking on the elevator before we exited. Like that to me just drives me nuts. Like, you should ban getting on an elevator until everybody's out. Like, it's just always awkward. Like, especially when it's more than one person. Like they're coming on. Like, I'm leaving. I'm walking off. That's one. And then the other one I mentioned to you before the show. The nice holes is what I call them.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what a nice hole is?
Nah.
All right. So you're driving, let's say, on Shepherd. Not that I was driving on Shepherd on Saturday, but I was driving on Shepherd Saturday.
He was driving on Shepherd on Saturday. I have a feeling.
I was picking up some sushi at Miyabi right there on Shepherd. And there was a number of cars that were coming out of the parking lot. And I'm on the right lane. And the car in front of me let a car come in. Cool. That's what you should do, right? Then let another. Then let another. Then let another. Let four cars come in from the parking lot while everybody in my lane was waiting. It should be one, right? And I call those people nice holes. They were too nice, you know?
Yeah.
Like they held everything up. You let four cars in. It should be one, 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 one. That should be banned. That should be banned.
The zipper technique.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Zipper technique.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just like the teeth of a zipper.
Mm-hmm.
One from this side, one from that side, one from this side. One from, and we can make it go smooth. In a similar fashion, I think someone brought in the folks that, you know, try and drive up on the bottleneck and slide in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you knew what was happening here. Like, I understand that there needs to be a level of, you know, again, zipper needs to be level mm-hmm. of a collaboration and getting past this particular bottleneck. But come on, don't be a jerk about it.
Yeah.
Or the people that will just ride the shoulder. Come on now.
But it doesn't have to be necessarily about traffic. Just like things in general that you think should be banned.
Like this one from the 713. Ban daylight saving time.
You're in on that.
I'm in on that, but what I've realized is I actually want permanent daylight saving time, which, I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's a distinction right. there without much of a difference, but, like, I would rather the portion that allows us to have it sunnier longer, which I believe mm-hmm. is daylight saving time.
Yeah.
And go ahead and keep that, right? I don't need it to be sunny in the morning. I'd much rather it be sunny at, like, 7 p.m. Like,
I agree.
That makes my life much, much better. I think you talk about, like, the you know, evening show guys. Leaving the show and it's dark out, it's got to be, like, demoralizing. And similarly, I imagine a lot of people get off work 5, maybe in traffic mm-hmm. for an
you
hour.
You can't do anything.
Getting to the 4 house.
O'clock.
Yeah, you can't do anything.
4 o'clock is getting dark.
But what I'm saying, yeah, getting out of traffic, getting to your house, and then it's dark outside has to be demoralizing. Let's see if we can help our people out.
Or even for the teachers, when they leave in the morning, it's dark.
Yeah.
When they come back, it's dark.
Yeah.
That's tough, man.
What do you want banned? Permanently, everyday things.
This might rub some people the wrong way, but I don't care, man, because I'm talking about the bad people that take advantage of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think on social media, everyone should have a profile picture of themselves.
Ooh.
I know, Lopez, I'm not picking on you because you don't really do this. Uh-huh. Rest in peace to Gibson. You got a picture of Gibson.
Yeah.
And you're not one of the people to do this, but I can't stand the people with no profile picture talking smack about you
mm-hmm.
and how you look or what you say. It's like, dog, like you a picture of your profile picture is a bald eagle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, nah, you should. Nah. If you want to sit here and talk a whole bunch of mess about somebody, you should mm-hmm. have a picture of yourself up there.
Well,
so we can see who it is.
My background picture is me. But the profile picture.
Don't get defensive now.
No. What I'm saying is you should be able to see who it is.
Yeah. I should be able to see who I'm talking to mm-hmm. so I can clap back mm-hmm. or say what I want to say. Like, I can't stand it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think social media, it should be a requirement to have a real profile picture of you.
Yes. Yes. I hate the anonymous. That should be banned. Like the anonymous texter, the anonymous poster, the anonymous Twitter. Totally agree.
And then you got the and then be the new accounts that was just made in 2025 that's mm-hmm. trolling. I'm like, man, come on, come on.
Yeah, there's a level of accountability in that transparency. So I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, y'all coming for me directly. I appreciate it. From 832, want to ban Reggie saying the YouTube. I think it is a shorthand for the YouTube page.
Yeah.
In my head, but I'll work on that. If that is disconcerting.
Well, you're kind of being, is it ironic? Not necessarily ironic, but you're being sort of sarcastic.
I don't think that, for me personally, it's just like it's the YouTube page.
Like when people say the interweb. I know you're just kind of being funny, you know, or whatever. That I don't mind. but I think there are some people that there are some things that should absolutely be banned. I don't know how you could ever legislate this, but rude to waiters, to wait staff. Like people who are just, they sit down and they act like they're at a state dinner, you know, and start questioning and being rude to wait staff and all that. I'm like, dude, just eat your meal. You know, they're acting, I don't know, they just act a certain way that just drives me nuts.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, for sure. Especially what I really dislike is when folks are jerks to certain people mm-hmm. over something that they had nothing to do with.
Yes.
Like you get up here and like, why is this charge? Like y'all overcharging. I'm like, mm-hmm. the person at the register, I guarantee you did not set the price. I can tell you that for certain.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Banned loud talking cell phone conversationalists. Agree.
Oh, yeah. This speakerphone guy.
You should not mm-hmm. be on speakerphone right now. We can mm-hmm. get you some headphones if you need it. From the A32, ban Tyler from showing his nipples.
Talking about him and showing him. Yes. I agree with that one.
That has been on your spirit. I appreciate that we gave you the space to get this one off. All right, A32, I think I disagree with this one. Mushrooms should be banned. And I'm guessing that you mean like food mushrooms as opposed to psychedelic mushrooms.
Yeah.
Although I can't really.
I like mushrooms.
I think they're solid.
I do too.
Yeah.
Mushroom gravy, mushrooms. Oh, yeah. I like those.
I'm drinking the mushroom coffee.
Are you what? For real?
Yeah. They got the mushroom coffee.
Well, I think that should be banned.
Yeah. What does that do?
I heard it stops you from bloating. So it's like
really?
A healthier version of a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I just tried it. I just got it this weekend. So.
And?
It tastes solid.
Yeah.
I've been drinking it the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
From the 346, please ban people that eat stuff in stores before they pay for it. All right, so here's the thing.
You still doing that?
My mom was absolutely this person.
She was.
However, one thing she would at least do is she would take the package to the front and pay for it.
I've opened a water. Like, if I'm real thirsty, I've opened a water and just put it in the empty, in the cart.
I don't think I ever did that,
that's
man.
That's the closest I've done to that. But you don't eat anymore in a grocery store.
Walking around eating the apple.
Yeah.
I pay for it.
Yeah, sure you will. Or did you eat the tag?
And then wondering why these people following you.
Yeah, yeah.
let's see. Ban people letting their kids drive the grocery cart. Oh, come on. Now how are you supposed to learn?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they hit you in the ankles, I understand.
Now, this one is really crazy for me. I might lose a couple of listeners on this one. I think kids should be banned from wedding receptions.
Oh no way.
I think so, man. That's not a place for kids.
It
man.
Is when it's a family wedding reception.
No, because it don't be a family wedding reception. It be grown people.
But the kids going out on the dance floor and dancing with their grandpa or grandma.
They don't be doing that.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Look at this modern thoughts.
I go to weddings every week. They be all in the way, man.
They are not.
They be bored. Yes.
This is your hottest take ever.
And then they start hanging on the doggone photo booth, which is
there it is. I was like, where is this coming from?
Now we know.
And then parents don't never get their kids.
Oh, now we know.
They just leave them running free, breaking stuff.
Dang.
Nah, man.
Kids should be like, at a wedding.
Make an area for them then. Get them a playhouse.
Some weddings do.
If y'all do, that's cool. But mm-hmm. I never seen a playhouse or anything for kids.
Man,
them kids be bored.
I'm sorry.
They're not bored.
They're eating all the food.
They're dancing on the.
They take their shoes.
They take their shoes off. Start sliding around the dance floor.
Come on, man.
That's called memories, man.
Give them a little play area.
That's called memories with their family.
They should be banned, man. Do something else.
This is a hot take.
Nah, man. We grown. We trying to drink. We trying to have a good time, man. Ain't nobody trying to watch no kids.
Well, that's the whole idea. That's why kids have fun. As long as they're not breaking anything.
Yeah, well, ban the alcohol then, man. If it's such a family event, then.
I think you'll get more pushback on the banning alcohol from the wedding than you are on the kids.
Hey, man, the kids could go to the wedding and all that stuff, but grown folks, we trying to party, man.
281 said, ban shutting down streets for rodeo. It didn't help at all. I do wonder, would it have been worse if they did, though? If they didn't, though? Like, that is always something that is not something you can prove. You can't prove the counterfactual. However, I do wonder, like, how much worse does it look if they don't end up in that space?
The A32 said, figure that coffee is good for the brain, too. Apparently not. Not with his
Wow, not with his kids, what a hater.
Hey, I'm smart with it, man. Because y'all be having some weddings, don't have a playhouse, don't have toys or nothing for these kids. They be all in the way and knocking over stuff.
Those kids are all in the way.
Nah, yeah, they be all in the way, man.
Figgy said he Figgy is not for the babies.
All right, yeah, every single time too, man.
Driving people driving with their hazards on in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the hazards? I feel like the hazards in a driving rain is
that is an absolute no-no. Don't ever do it. That's one of my go-tos. I will fight you all day, every day. Hazard lights are supposed to be when you're on the side of the road.
But if there's a driving rain where you can barely see in front of yourself,
no, never do it. I've never done that in my life.
Never
drive in the rain. In some states, it's illegal
To drive in the rain.
With your flashers on. Yeah, because then people get up on you. They think you're on the side of the road, and they get in some trouble that way.
If you say so.
Yeah.
I personally enjoyed having someone with their hazards on so I can actually see where the car is.
No way.
Because otherwise, sometimes.
What about the people that just drive with their bright lights?
Oh, see, now you're a jerk.
That's a jerk, too.
Ban menus on your phone at restaurants. There we go. That's something we can all get behind. That's going to bring us all back together after the divisiveness. Yeah, paper menus or physical menus, please. All right. Yeah. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get back to football and go around the NFL, including, are you ready for the 18-game season? Because it seems like it's coming around soon. We'll talk about that.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.